Never allow yourself to be in a religious routine. Take time to be led of the Lord. And take time to praise the Lord. What's wrong with singing a few extra minutes for the Lord? Amen. John chapter 12, once you find your place, I'd ask you to stand just for a moment. I think I sung myself to being hoarse, but I thought I was going to let Samuel sing, but he did, but I just hard to stay silent. God is so good. In John chapter 12, I'm going to preach a message today, just really focusing on the person of Jesus Christ a little bit, and I'm going to call it, Are You Willing to Be Glorified? Are You Willing to Be Glorified? We looked at different messages on faith here recently, and really just been a challenge and encouragement to my heart, and I just want to look at Christ today and the glory, but what he spoke of himself was his glory. And as our desire as a Christian should be to emulate Jesus Christ. You know, I was thinking today, the goal of every church is not really church, shouldn't be church growth, but it should be Christ likeness. And because if you have Christ likeness, you do have growth. You know, because there's so many things that people do for church growth, and that's the emphasis, or instead of really a life that emulates the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've really been looking at a lot of different things. I was reading an article this week. I think I mentioned the other day, but just reading different articles of how they say a lot of things but don't have much Bible in them. You know, and I thought, well, where is Christ if it's not the Word? And there's so many emphasis today, religiously speaking, that don't have any Christ-likeness about them. And so we're going to look at Christ today, and I hope, and what he called his glory. And I think God would be right about what he said was his glory. Would you agree? If God said this was glory, then he was right. And so that may we strive to be what God would have us to be. In John 12, and verse number 23, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this world, pardon me, unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people therefore that heard it, pardon me, the people therefore that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This said he, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. That's good news. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Good message right there. You know, if you don't walk in the light, the darkness of this world overtakes you. You know, almost every person that has struggled in their Christian life at getting into the things of darkness because they're not walking in the light. And all of a sudden, the light that they did have is overshadowed by the darkness that has overtaken them. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Directionless. What am I here for? What's next? What's next? I'm not walking in the light. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of the light. These things make Jesus. I love preaching the Bible. Because, you know, when you just read the verses, there's things in there that I didn't even look at sometimes that God has for people. and I just, it's only for me. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom had the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias while he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Same when religious pressure comes from within. I always wonder, any given church service, would more people stand up for Christ, whether or not some of the religious beside them that they fear, what they might think if they really, really got serious for God. Lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever, praise God, believeth on me, should not abide in darkness. Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for being a tremendous, or that word really doesn't do you justice. It's probably why it's not in your scriptures. But Father, I thank you for your holiness. I thank you for for being the God of glory. Be seen today, please, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And thank you for standing. A few different things we look down through the passage today. Very simply, as we look about Jesus, back up to where we start reading in verse 23, talking about the thought, are you willing to be glorified? He says, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The first thing, if you're willing to be glorified, number one, you have to be willing to be buried. You have to be buried. You know, I've studied this passage and I've taught out of it several times and preached out of it several times. And a phrase really stuck out to me this time as I looked in verse 24. Because he said, except the corn we fall. And then he said, into the ground. You know, it's a very clear fact if you really die, you have to be buried, you know. And he said, into the ground. You know, you have to become to a place where you can't really be seen at all in this world, is what he's saying here. Because the corn of wheat, when it falls into the ground, it's buried. And that's when it becomes at a place where it really is not visible, that's when it really can die. And speaking of really the thought of humility, you know, and when the thing that keeps you and I from really being everything that God would have us to be is being humble. Humble enough to trust Him. Humble enough to just let Him have control of our life. Humble enough to leave our thoughts for His thoughts. But He says here, the corn of wheat, it must not just fall. Because it can't just lay on the surface and grow. It's got to get deep. It's got to fall into the ground. It's got to be in the ground, you know. And so you and I, in our lives, if we're going to really be glorified for God, we can't just kind of lay on the surface and help everything go to our right. We got to get buried deep, you know. And even when it comes to the truths of the Bible, we can't just lay on the surface, you know. That's where we're always a continual battle against surface Christianity, you know. We can do the outward, external things. But when God is always putting us in situations to press us above ourselves so we see that we really do need Him. You know, I'll hold your place here and turn to Corinthians just for a moment. I was meditating on this passage this week, how he said in 1 Corinthians 1, it said in verse number 25, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, if we really believe this verse, what it's saying here, I was really thinking about this in light of current day religion, you know, because we have really such a pragmatist mindset. Well, we do that which works. And we really figured out God, and that we see our strengths and our talents and abilities, and we believe God calls us and God uses us based on those abilities. Now, nothing surprises God. There are certain gifts that I have that I know that God has used in the ministry. But if I look at this verse here, the Bible says that He has not called many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty. So when God called and I was thinking about, I look back before I was called to preach, I never had a problem with public speaking. I spoke in public. And I look at those different things, and I really realized it, and I thought, but you know, that's not the greatest thing that God has called me to do. Because not many are called after the flesh. And see, what happens is, and this is, if you'll catch this, this is good, this will help you, because, see, many times when what happens in our lives, we have different individual strengths that God certainly does use. But what God is really calling most of us to, the greatest work that He's called you to do, is something that is not really within your own personal ability. I mean, I could speak before. I could stand in front of people before. But I think, but the greatest thing that God has called me to is really a life of faith. Something that was totally foreign to me before Christ. A life that could not use these hands to get it done. A life that could not use this mind to figure it out and get it done. God has called me to a life that is beyond me. And the work, the greatest work that God is looking for me to do is a work that Rainer Harper cannot take credit for. And see, what happens is, and you and I, we get involved, we begin to serve God. We begin to use the strengths that, with the things, well, God made us, so He's not surprised about what we can do. And we begin to gravitate in ministry and service to God toward the things that are within our comfort zone and things that we're skilled at doing. And God said, wait a minute, I've called you for something beyond you. I've called you not according to your flesh, not according to your wisdom, not according to your own might. He says, no, I've called you according to me. And I want to do something in you that's beyond you. And see, if you'll really accept that, then you won't give up when you start to serve God. You realize that, wait a minute, what God has asked me to do is impossible. But I know it's God that asked me. So I'm probably in the right place. Probably at the right time, doing the right thing. So Isaiah 53, we see another passage that talks about the Lord here. Isaiah chapter 53. Well, God is good. God is good. Just reminded me of something. Isaiah 53, notice what it says here in verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a dry, as a root out of a dry ground. What do you mean? Roots generally aren't seen very often, are they? Do you finally dig one up? You know, we talk about the corner we must fall into the ground. You know, but roots make a big difference in the tree. Now, if you need a tree to stand, it's got to have some deep roots. I can remember as a kid growing up in Texas and seeing these big tall trees that have been around for ages and ages and ages. And man, especially we had them in our backyard. We loved to climb them, you know, kids, you know. And we were privileged. We had vines and we used to swing from the trees and everything. You know? So the little Tarzan movies, I was it. You know, I had a little pocket knife. I'd whittle me a big knife like a Tarzan knife, you know. So I had my big Tarzan knife, and I'd swing through the trees. I knew how to, you know how to do the yell, you know, and swing through the tree, all this thing. And I would marvel at these trees so strong and so powerful, and until a storm would come through. And all of a sudden, man, you think, and it tears that tree up by the roots. And you realize that, wow, because all I was looking at, I'm looking at the tree, and I'm thinking, it's so mighty, it's so strong, I'm looking at everything about it upward, but really, what really held that tree in position was the things that nobody else could see. And that's what our Lord asks us to be. He asks us our lives be built and rooted. We may be buried, and our greatest strength is to be things that are not visible. If you really think about the Bible, everything that God asks us when He speaks to us is for us not to be seen, but for Christ to be seen. But our world is totally opposite against that. Everything we do. I was thinking today, I have a ridiculous imagination. I was thinking, I knew I'd be preaching today. And I thought if somebody said amen, I should go like they do in the world when they make the shot, you know. Because it wasn't, now they stop at the end and give the glory to God. You know, some of them do, you know, my mom, praise God, thank my mama, all this stuff, you know. But they do this, you know, like it was them that did it. You know, God gave them a mind. God allowed them to breathe. You know, if God stopped their heartbeat, they never would have did whatever they did on the court, you know. And even with this, you know, whatever we do for God, it's all based on God's power. God's not looking for me to be seen. He's looking for Him to be seen. And Jesus lived that life. But, you know, even in ministry, nobody wants the jobs. that nobody can see. That's why there's small churches all over Ontario that don't have pastors. Because by a pragmatist viewpoint, you can never grow a church in that area. You can never have a fully self-sustaining work in this economy where that area is at. The pastor will probably have to work a job. All of it is just to be there, just to be there to be faithful, preach the gospel. Nobody's willing to be that root. So many Christian homes fall apart. Because you know what keeps a Christian home together? That's not it's not your visible attendance in church, though it's good that you're here. It's that place in your house when you go through that door. Anybody have any idea what I did out there? I prayed. I really did. I did. I prayed. Asked for direction. Asked for God to make sure I don't wrestle, that I keep fighting in spirit. Remember that I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. Because you couldn't see that. And in your home, and in your relationships, if they're going to be successful, it's going to be in a place where nobody can ever see it. Because that's where the roots grow. You got to be buried. Buried in the likeness of a dead. Back in the passage here where we started, John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And by the way, as you see the root, you see if there's some root work going on, the tree will be there. You see, we want to build what we can see. We want to build a tree. We want to build something we can see. And that's why a lot of struggle sometimes, you know. Because instead of just digging the roots in, we're trying to make the tree grow. Just dig the roots in. The tree will come out. You know, hey, read your Bible. We don't feel like reading your Bible. Pray if you don't feel like praying. Be spiritual when nobody else around you wants to be spiritual. And just love God when nobody else wants to love God. And guess what? Your roots will get dug. And they may not grow, but you will. And all of a sudden, you'll be like, hey, praise God, this is good. But if you try to manifest something, it'll never happen. Now, second thing, if you want to be glorified, you have to have the right burden. We said you have to be buried, but you have to have the right burden. And Jesus gives it to us very clearly here in verse 27 and 28. He says, now is my soul troubled. Now, this was a difficult situation. He knew he was going to the cross. It wasn't like the trials we have, like trying to get up and being awake in church on a Sunday afternoon. I mean, that's pretty hard, isn't it? I mean, imagine the great battle and how difficult that is. You know, I mean, the struggle and the toil of all week and the work we do and sometimes a little sleep and a little function and to be at church and to stay awake while some ridiculous guy does something called preaching. I mean, that's pretty tough, you know. He's going to the cross. And his soul was troubled. He's like, oh my. But he said, Father, he said, what shall I say? Save me from this hour? No, that's not what this is about. You know, I preached a message called The Loneliest Place in Life recently. And I was looking at the life of Peter as he walked on the water. And there's some things it could have been, but and I may even preach it again later, because you won't remember what I'm saying now anyway, but you know, it could be separation, because the disciples were separated unto Christ. There's several principles in there. It could be, you know, persecution. It could be different things. But you know the loneliest place in life? You study that passage out. You know when Peter was the loneliest? It could be a place where you do a great supernatural work for God. Here he is walking on the water. But he wasn't lonely then. The only time he got lonely was when his greatest need of God was self-preservation. When he looked around and saw the water, and all he could say was, Lord, save me. That's when he was so lonely. That's the loneliest place in life. And see, Jesus here, he understood that. You know, he looked at these things, and his soul was troubled, but that wasn't his burden. He said, I could say, save me from this hour, but he said, no, my burden, here it is, verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. If you're going to be glorified, you've got to want him to be glorified. That's the right burden. See, if we stop just calling upon God for self-preservation and for a happy existence, almost every time I preach at a preacher's meeting anymore, they start talking about revival. I always say most of us don't really want revival. We're not really looking for revival. We're looking for a better earthly existence so we can carry out our Christian responsibilities in a much easier fashion than we are right now. We're not looking for revival, because we just want a better life so things go better. But you must have the right burden. Jesus, he's getting ready to be mocked, scorned, abused, beaten, spit upon. But he said, Father, I'm troubled about this, but you know what, Father, my burden is that you'll be glorified. Be glorified. Number three, you must believe in your purpose. You must believe your purpose. Now, in verse 44, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. And notice, he knows his purpose here. He says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You know, if you believe your purpose, you know, you'll be glorified. And see, we're called to be light. We're called to shine. You know, and you know, I was thinking about this. It's pretty simple. You know, but the best place for light to shine is in the darkness. When I was a kid, I was always fascinated with flashlights. But I never bought a brand new flashlight and took it out and flashed it at the sun or in daylight. When I bought a flashlight, even if I bought it in the daytime, which is normally when we shop, I intentionally went into the darkest room I could find. And I would turn the light on so it could shine. Because I knew in that dark place, it could really be visible. It could really be seen. And see, if you and I could really catch a hold of the purpose that we have and really glorify God, we'd stop crying about how bad this world is, and we just say, Lord, just let me shine, and we Lord, put me where somebody I can shine the light on them, you know. And we shy away from dark people. We shy away from people with dark sin problems. We shy away from people that look at, man, they got baggage, instead of like, Lord, that's the one you can Lord, is that the one, am I the one that can shine the light on them? If you believe in your purpose like Jesus, he says, I am come a light into the world. This is why he didn't abandon what he was doing. He knew why he came. He came to be a light. He wasn't, and he came to be a light, and he came to shine. You know, if you think about that too, you just shine the light, and whatever happens, happens. That just the responsibility to shine will free you from expectations and free you from trying to accomplish things, except but your personal responsibility to shine. Then if there's a trial, guess what? If you know your purpose, what will you do? You will shine. If there be tribulation, hey, if you know your purpose, what will you do? You will shine. If there be whatever problem you can imagine, if you know your purpose, if you believe in your purpose, hey, I came to light. You know, if I'm going through something miserable right now and everybody knows it, I mean, they know I'm going through a dark time. It's time to shine. Father, glorify thyself. Father, would you take me through this in such a way that you will be seen, you know? And you know, light shines the best in the darkness. I mean, I really wish that people that know God could really get excited about this day and age we live in. I said, we can shine. Because it's one thing to, I mean, Paul was burdened when he saw cities wholly given in idolatry. But see, Paul knew he had the answer. I think Paul was, the reason Paul was really burdened, because it really was against God, not that it made his earthly situations uncomfortable or unpleasant. See, in modern Christianity today, we don't like idolatry, we don't like sins, we don't like things going around us, but it's really just because of how it affects our world, not because we really are in tune with God. And we love that closet so much that we think, man, this is against God. It's like, man, this is just making my life difficult. You know, taxation, high cost of living, rich getting wealthy, all the type of things that Christians complain about, like everybody else does anymore, you know. And it's just so hard to make a living. Well, stop making one. Let God provide. Amen. Who said you're supposed to make a living anyway? God said, trust Him. He'll do the work. Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. It's still true. Amen. That's the way it is. And think about it. If we believe it, just be so simple. It's so many things. They're just simple. If we just do it. But you must believe in your purpose. Or if you are you a light? If you're saved, you are a light. Shine. Amen. Shine. Hey, go back to the day you got saved. Remember that glow that came over your face? And you just had to tell somebody, keep shining it everywhere. When the next time you get around this dark person that you think, man, they sure don't want to hear about God. Shine. Because God put you in the darkness as a light for a purpose. Amen. And if you know your purpose and you believe it and know what happened is, not only will God be glorified, but you will be glorified. Maybe not at that moment, but the Heavenly Father will say that. See, there's one of mine right there. They're shining for me, you know. See what they're doing, you know. Somebody told me, one of my sons that was good the other day. And the parent gave a reflection upon me because of what they heard about one of my sons. I thought, well, that was good. That was a blessing. And, well, they'd overheard one of them talking about something. And Harry says, and they're supposed to be doing something, you go out and do something. I don't know what it was, but what the issue was, they were thinking one of them about sneaking out or something like that. And one of them said, I tell you what, it was my son Samuel. I curse them when they're bad, so I bless them when they get something good. And he said, no, I think I was out of town. He said, I couldn't go out and do that. Because if I did that, I wouldn't be there to protect my mama. And the father praised me for it. But really, that's something he's been taught. But he gets the glory for it, you know. And he's glorified through that. That doesn't mean he does everything perfect, but sometimes they use as the instrument to illustrate what not to do, so I'll use them as a positive like today, you know. But I teach my son, they're supposed to protect their mother. So when I'm away, they're the ones that don't be a grief to your mother, you be her protector. And you be willing to do whatever it is, what you need to do to protect them. And you should be. That's why I tell my girls, don't marry somebody soft. You know, don't marry somebody that wants to fight, but marry somebody that you know that if you're going someplace, that they're going to take care of you, you know. You must believe in your purpose. And see, when your purpose is to shine, you're not really trying to... See, if I really understand my purpose anyway, I'm only shining the light that's in here anyway. The light that Christ put inside of me. I'm not shining Reiner Harper anyway. Because if I shine Reiner Harper, I mean, that's not shining. Because I'm just showing off more darkness. And see, what I want is the light to shine. And you know, if the people that know God could just really get a hold of that, you know, this daily cross that nobody really wants to bear, it would be a lot easier for you. Because we realize that I'm not here to be on the surface and enjoy the surface. I'm here to dig in and to shine. And I think so. I don't know why. You know, I was thinking, I mentioned this when I was preaching at that meeting, you know, and I've said it even here before, I'm sure in a different way, you know, of all the things God could have put in Toronto, Canada, knowing the many religions that are against Christ, knowing the loose worldly mindset that endorses anything your mind wants to do, pretty much. God said the answer to that darkness is the people that are in this room right now that have been saved by the grace of God. And of everything he could have chosen, God doesn't make mistakes. God's always right. God's perfect in every way. And God is love. So the best thing he chose for those in darkness are the ones that are in this room right now that know Christ. Can I ask you a question? I don't know about you, but that seems like a pretty valuable purpose in life to me. So the question is, why are you still trying to establish yourself and get some name in this world? Get your self-worth by from heathens that don't even know God by your degrees, by your achievements, by, and I'm not saying don't get educated. I'm not saying don't have good jobs. I'm saying, but don't, why are you looking for that? It's so you can finally feel like, I'm something now, man. Instead of just saying, I'm the light. I'm the light. By all means, work. If God hopes opportunity, by all means, get a good education. But get it to shine. And always remember, your greatest purpose is to rescue people from the darkness. And honestly, I really say that. Your purpose is just to shine. Because we can shine and people still make their choice, you know. That's probably one of the hardest things about really understanding what we do. We just have to shine. We can't make them embrace the light, but we can shine the light. Because it's just like when Jesus told the story about Lazarus and the rich man and Lazarus, and how when the rich man died and was in hell, and he said, Father, would you please send Lazarus back? Because he had five brothers, and he wanted to witness to him. And Jesus told him, he said, no, Father Abraham, I think I remember the story. He said, no, he said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Because, you know what, see, we have to shine, and we shine, but they've got to hear the word of God. Because we can do everything. That means whatever we do, even as a Christian example, they've got to hear the preaching, your witnessing, and you got to show them from the scriptures. And that's what's going to make the difference. Because if one rises from the dead, he said, they won't believe. If they're not going to believe what Moses said, which Moses penned the scriptures through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if they're not going to believe the prophets, which preach the word of God, they're not going to hear, even if they see some visible manifestation rising from the dead. So shine. Shine the light, which is the word of God. And let God do his work. And bring people into that confrontation with God. And let them do what they want to do. But Jesus, he believed in his purpose. He shined in the darkness. And last thing of all, if you're willing to be glorified, you must be willing to be betrayed. You must be willing to be betrayed. In verse 1, it says, John 13, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So here he is. You know, he's going to, you know, I was thinking about this morning. Christ is going to perform one of the most selfless, humiliating acts by dropping his clothes and even taking the towel with girding to wash the disciples' feet. And even for one that he knows is going to betray him. And he willingly shined his light anyway. But that was part of his glory. Because see, that's not human nature. Because you know, if that had been you or me, I don't have to say you, I'll just use me. If that had been me, and somehow I knew, I'm washing all these feet, and I think this is the one that's going to sell me for 30 pieces of silver. Except what Christ did. I mean, I think I might be struggling when I came to his feet. Because as a man, I just can't think of that. I'm thinking as a man, I think I snapped one of his toes off or something while I'm down there. But the Christ within me says, no, shine. As an example, as a light of the work that Christ could do in the heart of someone. You know, and I was thinking about this. We all look, you know, everything's so business-like and everything's so worldly-oriented. We're looking for peaks and valleys. We're looking for pinnacles and tops, you know. And I was thinking that at the height of Jesus' earthly ministry, when at the pinnacle of what he lived this life for, in his greatest act, in his greatest moments of glory, he was forsaken by all and hated and put to death. And that was in his glory, you know. Are you willing to be glorified? But yet that was what saved the world, because he was willing to be glorified. But thank God for Jesus, amen. I mean, if we really think about it, we really have to understand. You know, we love God more if we really think about stuff like that and realize that God is so unlike us. And the things that made my week difficult this week, and the things that caused my mind to wander and to struggle, most of it had absolutely nothing to do with the cross. Or bearing the cross. It had to do with the fact, because one good thing about being buried, it's not as many distractions when you're buried, you know. And if you have the right burden, hey, you've got your direction set. You know what you're here for. You've got the light. I thank God for the different times. And when God had me working secular employment, just going to different opportunities, I knew I was there as a witness and as a testimony to shine the light. And even when I go by doing whatever my business is now, and I'm going to the bank and even going to the grocery store, I'm to shine the light, you know. That's why I go in places singing and lifting up God and lifting up the name of Christ and looking for every opportunity to shine in the darkness, you know. But you got to believe that purpose, and you got to be, at the same time, you got to be willing to be betrayed. Because here, Jesus does all this. And look at the end of John 13, verse 27. He said, now after, John 13, 27, now after the sop, Satan entered into him, then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. No man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Judas had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. I know it's verse 31. Now, after the betrayal, after he goes out to carry through his betrayal. Verse 31, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Now, after the betrayal, Jesus said, now I'm glorified. Hey, I've been buried like the corn of wheat. I fall on the ground. Hey, I came as a tender plant. Hey, he made himself with no reputation, the Bible says. Never was looking to be seen, to stand out as far as his flesh that God gave him. But he was just shining. He had the right burden. He said, I'm the light. I came in John 8, I think it's verse 12, he says, I'm the light of the world. You know, if everybody took that person, I am the light of the world, like Jesus did, we'd all be a lot more faithful. See, many times we like to make things corporate instead of making personal. Because I think about it, in Matthew 5, he says, ye, he used an individual pronoun there, ye, you, ye are the light of the world. He said, I am the light. But see, when we say we, then we think, well, I may not have to do so much, because I'm Brother Mark and Brother David's going to pick up the slack, you know. So, but if I say I'm the light, and I'm saying, it don't matter what Brother Mark and Brother David does, I'm the light, you know. And if Brother David says, I'm the light, it don't matter what I do, it don't matter what Mark does, or anybody else says, he said, David says, I'm the light. If Mark says, no matter what Pastor Harper does, I'm the light, you know. Mark encouraged me a while back, he was getting tracked when I wasn't getting tracked, and I was too busy with other things, you know, and he decided he's going to be the light. Praise God for that. Another time men have stood up and did things and focused, and that's what we all need to do. We just need to be the light. Amen. And now it's the Son of Man. But Jesus, he did it all. He believed in his purpose. He had the burden, Father, be glorified. Whatever that takes. Lord, my soul is troubled. I'll be honest with you. If I had my wishes, I'd go live somewhere deep in the country. You know, when I first got saved and started trying to live a separate holy life, I liked to hear by the way the Amish people live. I thought that'd be great, man. And I thought, man, praise God, they don't dress like the world. They don't look like the world. They don't have worldly music out there. And they don't have all these things that keep people, that distract people and cause people to lust and fornicate. I mean, they don't have all that stuff out there. And though, you know, they, unfortunately, that stuff happens there too. So there's no protection against ungodliness, he said, but Holy Spirit living. But I thought, man, it'd be great just go out there and just be in a bliss and not be bombarded with the world. But you can't shine like that. That's not what God's purpose is, you know. He said, be in the world, but not of the world. And so we have to be in it. And if I know my purpose, then I'm not sidetracked. I'm not distracted. I'm just a light. That's my purpose. I'm a light. I'm a light. And a light, the only worth of a light is in darkness. But if I become the darkness, then I'm certainly not any good. And thank God for a holy God that never even drifted toward the darkness. Totally holy in every way, maintained that he was the light. Thank God we have, thank God for the glorification of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just amazing what God can do. And you know what's even more amazing? If you believe the Bible, you know what Jesus said, and we think about that, him washing feet, and we think about him being distinct and not in the world and all these different types of things, and that he did, how he walked and did things that are so against our nature. And if we're honest and look at where we are, even in our pursuit of being like him, so many times so far from even what he is. But you know what the amazing thing is? He said to his followers, greater works than these that you should do. I don't really know what that means, but he said greater works. And yet we regulate ourselves to a shallow, superficial imitation of Christianity because we regulate in our mind that a life like Christ is inconceivably impossible. And the Lord himself said, you'll do greater works. And you know what the main reason is? We're pursuing the wrong way of being glorified. If we really stop and say, you know what? This is my Savior. I mean, if you're saved, what we just read about, your Savior. The one that you willingly came to, the one you willingly turned from you, your sin, to him, your Savior. This is the one that you know that if you can visibly see it, you're as close to hell as anybody ever has been. If you'd have died 5 minutes before you gave up to Christ, you'd been dead and in hell. And that's the one that saved you, rescued you, brought you out of that horrible pit. And said, now you're one of my children. This is him. This is his life. That's the life that I want. But his way of glory is a lot different than our way of glory. But I'm so glad it is. Because you know what? Most of what we... You know, honestly, is it okay to tell the truth while I'm preaching? Can I tell the truth while I'm preaching? I was thinking about the history of independent Baptists. I think about even things I mentioned about the Amish people. If you really think about it, if you take any modern day religion, most of what we do, let's just say Baptists because we believe we have the right doctrine. We wouldn't be Baptists if we didn't believe we were right. And I believe we do have the right doctrine, only by the grace of God. But most of what we glorify the most, anybody can do. Think about it. Most of what we glorify the most, anybody can do it. Hey, church attendance. Bless God. Hey, we're here. Other religions do that. Hey, don't dress like the world. Bless God. Hey, anybody. We find anybody can do that. Hey, you can be separated. Hey, anybody can do that. This conference... All right, I'm leaving alone. Thank you, Lord. Anybody can do. But the thing we're looking at right here, only those that know him can do that. I've had people come to this church and leave and say, well, you just don't deal with another issues, and you don't deal with this, you don't deal with that. Well, I'm trying to deal with what saved me. And I'm trying to deal with what really shows Christianity, Christ-like character. And that's being buried. That means being dead to who you are. That means washing feet. That means, yes, it means not loving the world. But to accomplish that, you know, you don't have to pursue that. If you pursue shining, I mean, you'll know it's impossible. You know what? I can't shine if my mind is filled with garbage all over the world, because I won't be able to give a word to tell somebody something. Because if I'm pumping my mind in with all the other kinds of things, how can I speak the scriptures? And I may be able to speak the scripture, but can I speak the one led by the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, which is the most important thing? Because the word spoken in due season. We've got to take our Savior seriously. I mean, if we love Jesus, why don't we love His life? I mean, do we really love the life that He lived for us, that we might have eternal life? I think we're so confused that, you know, we think Jesus died and did all those things so we can have a good earthly life. No, that's not it at all. He died so we could have eternal life. And he wanted us to know the fellowship of His sufferings, to know what it's like to be betrayed, to know what it's like to walk and to humble yourself and put yourself aside and to still be forsaken and left all alone. And to still love people anyway. He said, to fall into the ground and die. Though you have power to live, power to do what you want to do, but no, the corner we willingly dies, loses his life. For the glory, Father, would you be glorified? That's what I was praying. Father, would you be glorified today? And we have a great Savior. But it's not for all the reason that the modern day religion popularizes. I mean, thank God for the miracles that manifest and show the power of God. Thank God for the grace. Thank God for the gifts that God gives. But you know, we got social programs, we got social agencies, they can give money, they can give things. We got all types of things in this world that can help you in your earthly existence. I told my children the other day, I said, when we trained y'all for homeschooling, our goal was never to put you in a situation to make sure you have a good earthly existence. Our goal as a parent to make sure you have a godly existence. Because you can have a good earthly existence and be so far away from God, you're not going to bring God glory, and you still just drag your own life to the gutter. I mean, I know people that make six-figure incomes and still living paycheck to paycheck, in over their head, in debt. And they would scoff at a guy working a minimum wage job, living paycheck to paycheck. And they're doing the same thing. And they got all that money and all that and the quote unquote prestige to go with it. And they're struggling just like the other guys. They're just struggling, and they're struggling in a $300 suit instead of one from the dollar store from $5.95. God is good. Would you think about, as you think about the glorification of Jesus Christ, God is love. And He went through all that for you. And I guess the invitation is very simple. Since God is love, and that was His exercise of love for you, He lost His life. He laid down His life